This morning's message title is Jesus Shows Up to Shepherd Us. It's continuing our theme of Jesus Shows Up. And it's based in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, as Jesus talks about being both the gate and the shepherd. Now, I don't know what it's like to have sheep. I didn't grow up with sheep. We did have a few goats my dad had on our farm, and they were extremely mean, and they even tried to run me over once, but luckily I escaped. But I don't know what it's like to have sheep. However, I do know what it's like to have livestock. We had about 30 to 50 cattle on and off throughout my childhood and even a little bit into college. I know what it's like to care for cattle, which is different from sheep, but still livestock nonetheless. There was this one time where my brother and I were going to check on a calf that had fallen in the ditch. Oftentimes, if a calf wasn't able to walk, we would bring it back to the barn to bottle feed it and nurse it back to health. Sometimes there was issues with its mother or in its feeding for growth and nourishment. And so we would bring it to the barn and we would bottle feed them and things like that. Well, we saw a calf in the ditch, and so we go to check on this calf in the ditch. And as we got closer to it, it took off running, which was a good sign. It meant it was strong. It meant it was able to get up and move on its own. That was a good thing. The bad thing was is when we turned to head back towards the barn, we see the calf's mom barreling down toward us. And so we quickly jumped into these trees that were right beside us. Maybe it was a little dramatic, but we did jump into these trees as eventually it ran away. What felt like hours, that was probably 5 to 10 minutes. There was other moments, though, where we did have to bring the calf back to the barn to bottle feed it. And when we did that, we developed a bond with the calf that was a little bit more intimate than other times with other cows, that when we would just feed them corn and grain and things like that. So once that we would bring them back to the barn, we would give them a bottle in the morning and give them a bottle in the evening. And there would eventually grow a little bit of an intimacy with the calf because it knew we were going to be bringing food in one way, but also it was a lot more gentle than a lot of the other cows who were scared of us, who would always run away from us if we got too close. And this is when we learned that you should never name your calves. They are not pets. And if you want more explanation on that, talk to me after the service. There was an intimacy, there was a familiarity that was involved. They were more gentle. When we would go to feed the cows, as we would always be able to spot the calf that we bottle fed and nurtured and helped it grow a little bit. Now, this is not the same thing that Jesus is referring to when he's referring to himself as the good shepherd, but it's this familiarity that Jesus refers to himself, that he knows his sheep. His sheep know him. The good shepherd truly knows us by name. In our focus passage, John 10, 1 through 18, like I mentioned, we see Jesus referring to himself as both the gate and the good shepherd. This text comes to us in the same conversation as he had just healed a blind person by spitting into mud and rubbing it on his eyes to heal him. This blind man who was begging, who was an outcast of society, was healed, and then he goes to show himself to the Pharisees. Then a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees and the blind man is what pursues Jesus to begin this teaching in John 10, 1 through 18. Hear these words. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they still did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture." The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This message gives us a lot of metaphors and images to draw upon, especially when Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. The gate is the passageway for entrance into the community in Jesus' teaching here. The gate represents the thing that gives the sheep a sense of security. It's within this community that Jesus calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. Isn't it nice to hear a voice that you trust? At times, isn't it nice to hear a voice that you follow? A voice that's familiar. A voice that helps you feel secure. Like a young child hearing the voice of their parents whenever they're panicked. Like hearing the voice of a friend that says, it's going to be okay. The familiar sound of a voice you trust can be safety and security. It can be comfort. What gives you security during this pandemic? I invite you to engage the comment section in your Facebook live feed. Go ahead and share with one another. What is it that gives you a sense of security and comfort during this season of life? The gate also leads to the pasture, and that's where the sheep are fed. It's in the pasture that they have life, and they have it abundantly. The pasture is full of food for the sheep, full of life and abundance. And Jesus is referring to himself as the gate, so he is the one that leads them to this life, leads them to this abundance. One of the things I'm learning during this crisis is that I truly believe, there is enough food to go around. When I see food pantries that are opening all across this community, I see people donating so much time and energy to make sure people are fed and cared for. I was talking with a member of the church where their neighbors had started a new diet. And so they were trying to get rid of some of the food that they had left over. And because of this member, the church had mentioned the blessing box in our parking lot, they then donated the food for the blessing box. Now that might seem like a very minor thing, but it's a big deal because we were their church. Because of our blessing box that provides food for people, we were able to donate food for people. They donated some extra frozen food that they could distribute as well. Now, we might not ever see this couple in church, but we, in a way, are their church. They are providing food in abundance for people in need. It really is amazing to see all the people donating to the blessing box to make sure that everyone is fed, that everyone has food. I was there in the parking lot last week, and I just saw multiple cars pulling up to receive food. Then shortly after that, I saw other cars pull up to donate food. In this way, you are being the gate for the people, like Jesus is the gate for the sheep, leading people to food, leading people to pasture, an abundant life. There is enough food to go around in God's economy. There is enough pasture for all the sheep to enjoy abundance in life. So where do you see God's abundance at work? How are we contributing to allowing others experience God's abundance? The gate is also the place that welcomes this blind man into community. Jesus has just healed a blind beggar in John chapter 9. Now he is having a conversation with the former blind man. And Jesus says in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The way I read this in context with chapter 9 of the blind beggar is Jesus representing the gate is opening the gate for all to enter. Jesus is the gate in a way that opens the door for all people. He tells the former blind beggar and the Pharisee to enter and hear his voice. He invites him into community, someone that would have been outcast, someone that would have been marginalized because his blindness was understood as his own sin. He was cast out, but now Jesus invites him into the community and into the pasture, into this abundance of life. One of the limitations that we are experiencing due to virtual worship is there are people in our community that do not have access to internet or television or podcast or Facebook or YouTube, and there are people that cannot connect virtually and are not feeling that sense of community because we have to maintain our physical distancing. There are persons that have been on our hearts. These are persons that we are called to invite into the pasture like the blind beggar and provide food and comfort and abundance and community and relationship. How are we inviting the outcast into our community during this season? What might that look like? And then we move to the last few verses of our focus passage in which Jesus switches from referring to himself as the gate to referring to himself as the good shepherd. We see Jesus saying he's the good shepherd that lays his life down for his sheep. The good shepherd that knows his own and his own know him. We find ourselves in this season at an in-between time in our lives. In between what used to be normal and what new realities might lie ahead. It's what's known as a liminal space. Liminal as it relates to something that's in transition. As we see different parts of our new reality begin to open up, we are in this time of transition. We aren't sure what these new realities of life really look like, which can be scary. It's like when Jesus says the hired hand sees the wolf coming and they run away, but the shepherd who cares for the sheep leads them through the valleys of life. Some of you might be in a valley right now. The valley of the shadow of death, as referred to in Psalm 23. You know the words, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd leads us through the valleys of life. Jesus knows us by name. He brings us with him so that there will be, as verse 16 says, one flock, one shepherd. One of the things I remember learning from my older brother about cattle is that the younger calves could easily escape our fences. Sometimes we only had one electric fence wire. They could easily jump it or get under it or go through it. There were some times that they would if they got too curious. But I asked my older brother, why don't they escape more often? He said, because of the comfort of security and food. You have the security of its mom right there. And it's also one of its sources of food. And the pasture that was there is another source of food. But yet, beyond the fence, they didn't know what was coming. So when a calf did escape, we would search for hours and hard work to find it. We would drop everything to fix the fence really quickly and then go to find the calf. Now, don't act like we were saints because those calves were worth some money. But in some sense, Jesus comes to us because he's the good shepherd. He leads us to life that sacrifices for the sheep, that knows the sheep, that drops everything so that one might be saved, so that one might be loved, so that one might be welcomed. That's why he's the good shepherd. Jesus says in John 10:14, I know my own, and and my own know me. Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you by name. Even when you're in the valleys of life, you are known and you are loved. Jesus knows you by name and invites you into an abundant life, a life of purpose, a life of meaning, a life of love. Brandon is about to come and lead us in a new song titled Graves and Gardens. There are several lines that I want you to hear, but these are the ones that stood out to me as I was reading through it. The God of this mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. There's no place in our lives that God's grace and mercy can't find us. God comes with us, goes with us, will lead us. I want to close my message with a reading from Psalm 23. Many of you know these words by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, my whole life long. Amen.